This is the Green Student Ministries Middle School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. We are committed to our students being known, knowing Jesus, and becoming kingdom workers. We hope this podcast serves to encourage, challenge, and to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. This is Green Student Ministries.
So, I'm excited to talk about, there's three questions that I kind of showed you guys at the end of last week that we're going to hit today. And so we can probably throw those questions up there. It's like the next couple of slides. And so here they are. What is the best way to spread Christianity? I think it's a really good question. How can I help my friends follow Christ? And any tips on how to tell kids about God outside of church? And I thought that those three questions all kind of hovered around the same concept or the same idea. There were even other questions that sounded a lot like that. And so for those of you that asked this question or one of these or a question like that, thank you. There were a lot of these, which I think is really cool because if you guys are asking these questions, it shows me that you really care about your friends. You care about the ones that you hang out with or that you know who maybe don't know Jesus or disagree with the things that you believe or maybe believe in something else. And so I think that this was, like, as I was reading through the questions, this was really cool for me. And hopefully it's encouraging to you that your questions aren't just all about you, but it's how do I take these things that I know or take Jesus into spaces where he isn't? And I think that is one of the most important things that we've been commissioned to do, sent out to do. And so these are the questions that we're going to run with this morning. And I'm not going to talk for too long about this because I think this is important. But I think that the answers to this, it's not too entirely hard. The hard thing in the answer to this question is just doing it, honestly. And so, if you guys have your Bibles, go ahead and flip to the book of Matthew. Flip to the book of Matthew. It's the very first book in the New Testament. It is the first gospel. It's about 3/4 of the way through your Bible, really about 2/3 of the way through. I remember whenever I was younger, I always thought that like the New Testament and the Old Testament were the exact same length, and I learned that I was very wrong. And actually, the New Testament's a lot shorter than the Old Testament. But book of Matthew, the very last chapter is Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And so this is after Jesus has lived his life. He has called his disciples to himself. He's been arrested, killed, buried. 3 days later, he rises from the dead. All right, and this isn't just like a metaphorical rises from the dead. This isn't like in a movie or in a story or like this. We believe this actually happened. It's not like he was sleeping for a little while. It's not like he was just like he was injured and like in a coma. Like that's not what Scripture tells us. And so I think getting your mind around that first and foremost hopefully will encourage you then to live out the rest of the things that we talk about this morning, that the resurrection is real, that Jesus actually died, like he flatlined, he's gone, and then he came back. He rose again from the dead 3 days later on a Sunday morning. And after that happens, he appears to his disciples. He appears to the people that followed him around, that lived with him, that knew him. And then from there, then they began to write, filled with the Holy Spirit, a lot of the books of the Bible that we have here in the New Testament. We believe that Jesus appeared to Paul. He wrote a ton of the letters in the New Testament. We see that. But all of this comes from eyewitness accounts, all right? And so because of that, that changes the game here, that this is the real deal. And you have to ask yourself the question this morning, before we even get into the rest of the answer here, all right? The most important question for you to answer for yourself is, do I believe in the resurrection? Do I believe that Jesus came, lived, died, and rose again? Do I believe that? It's very foundational to faith. We've talked about that a little bit. In here, I try to mention, and I mean, that's the gospel in a nutshell, that Jesus is who he says that he was. He is the Son of God, and that as he came, he lived, he died, he rose again. that changes then the way that you live out the things that he tells us to do. Because if you think that Jesus was just a nice guy, had some good ideas, all of this in here is meaningless if the resurrection is not real. And I believe in my heart of hearts, fully, truly, that the resurrection is real. That's where you have to start this morning. That's what I think. Before you answer any of these questions, you have to answer that one for yourself. Because if Jesus isn't real to you, then what are you doing? All right? Where are you basing what you're doing, why you're doing it, how you're doing it, why even believe in doing good, or why even believe in doing the right thing, right? Those are very important questions for you to ask yourself. Do I believe in the resurrection? If the answer is yes, then here we find Jesus, after the resurrection, telling his disciples what we know as the Great Commission, right before he leaves again the second time. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So even with him physically standing there, some of them were like, I don't know about this. So if you have doubts, if you're there, like, you are not alone, all right? But then Jesus came to them and said, verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So if we start there, Jesus sends out those who would follow him, who believe in him. He says, go. Go out to everybody that you know. Make disciples, okay? And then we say, what does that even mean? What does that look like? A disciple, I believe, is somebody, biblically speaking, somebody who is trying to imitate and follow after the teachings of Jesus. That includes the resurrection. That includes things that Jesus tells us. He says, do everything that I have commanded you. And if you're here last week, what were the two most important commands that Jesus gave to his followers? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are like the two main things, that you would teach them all that I have commanded you, and the main thing being to love your neighbor, all right? And I think that flows directly into this first question. What's the best way to spread Christianity? And by that, we're talking about the religion of Christianity, but really it's you are trying to make disciples, make other people who know and want to follow after Christ. And the way that you do that, first and foremost, is by you yourself following what is here. So ask yourself, these questions even. This week, did I love my neighbor? Well, who is my neighbor? I can get into that. Your classmate, your teachers, your parents, your little brother or sister who annoys the heck out of you. Did I love anybody who I came in contact with? I have to ask myself that question when I'm driving. Am I loving my neighbor as they drive 20 miles an hour under the speed limit in front of me? Or am I just enraged at them for no reason other than the fact that I'm probably just driving safer than I should be? Am I loving my neighbor? You have to ask yourself that question, because the best way that we spread Christianity, the best way that we share the gospel, is by exemplifying what that looks like, and that's to love the people that are around you. That means that you watch what you say about others. It means that you are patient when really you have no reason to be. It means that you're gentle with the people who are rough with you. It means that you are caring for those that maybe hate you. Jesus says to love our enemies. It's not even just like love the people who like you or love the people who you can tolerate. No, it's love your enemies even, which is super crazy. Jesus tells his people to go and make disciples, to love others. And the best way for others to see, to say, man, I really want in on that, is to model what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, which means to love those that are around you, to be one who is countercultural, to speak the truth in love, not bending to culture, but at the same time being patient and kind and gentle with all those that you interact with. Jesus calls us into that. Here's the deal. If somebody were to walk into this building with a ton of people who would raise their hand and say, I am a Christ follower. They would walk into a space where there's a ton of Christians around. And all they did was ignore them, treat them poorly, not take care of them, and honestly make them feel excluded. Like, who wants to come back to that? Why would you ever want to go back to a place like that? I wouldn't. Maybe you guys have even experienced that at a church or around other people who are believers or who claim to be believers. It's like a friend group or something that you just can't get into. Somebody that maybe you've wanted to be friends with or you feel like they just constantly are treating others around them so poorly, and they would raise their hand and say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. Like, do you want to be a part of that? The answer is no. You probably wouldn't, especially if you have no reason to. If you're not a part of a Christian community or have experienced that in any positive way, all you see are negatives. And you're like, I don't want any part of that. So I think, number one, the best way to spread Christianity, to preach the gospel, to make disciples, first is to make sure that you yourself are loving your neighbor around you. If while I was saying that, you started to think about other people in your mind of like, man, they don't love people very well, or they're really bad about this, or they text people behind their back, or they do this, stop. The best way to start this is by checking your own heart and where you're at. Don't correct other people first. Check your own heart first. Ask yourself those good questions. Am I making disciples? Am I loving people? Here's another one. How can I help my friends follow Christ? I think this is along the same line, but now we're not just talking about strangers or people that we meet, but this is like your friend group. These are people that you're around all the time. Same thing applies. Love them, care for them, be a good neighbor, all right? But Colossians 3, I think, has a lot to say about this. Colossians 3, if you kind of flip over in the New Testament, this is a couple books over. You'll get through the Gospels. You'll go Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Anybody know what's next? What's after 2nd Corinthians? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. There you go. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. They're all those four, again, those are letters that Paul wrote to churches, and they're a little bit shorter, so it's easy to flip past them, to miss them. I'd also encourage you, again, I haven't said this in a while, if you guys have a Bible, like, bring it on Sunday mornings. Bring your Bible with you. I would say don't bring it on a phone. Don't bring it on a phone or your iPad or whatever. I know that you have it, but I would say we don't want you to use that in here simply because if that's like all you have and you're desperate, maybe. But I think that it's still distracting because you can get your text messages, you can get notifications or whatever while you're reading and paying attention in here. And like, if that happens, like, your mind is gone. If you've never opened up your phone thinking that you were gonna like look up one thing and then all of a sudden you were like scrolling through Instagram and it's like 30 minutes later and you're like, wait, what was I doing? I think that's happened to pretty much all of us with a phone. So here we go, Colossians 3, verse 12. I think this is a great one to say. How can I help my friends follow Christ? Again, it starts with you. And here's how Paul starts this off in verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, so he's saying those of you that believe that Jesus is who he says he is, you believe in the resurrection, you are a part of this team. You're part of the body. As the body, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves. This is like every single day. With compassion, with kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. That's like put up with each other. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Whatever like wrongdoings, whatever stuff you've got going on in between you and your friends. Forgive one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, which feels impossible because he always forgives. Always, 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 always. So think about that when you interact with your friends, whenever you feel like you've had kind of the final straw with them, or they felt that way about you, maybe. Verse 14, and over all of these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. So now he's talking about us together. Those of us that would say, yeah, I'm a Christian, right? If we can't model what that peace looks like together, How are we going to take it outside of these walls and into the spaces that need it? Be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So there's all of these kind of prescriptions for this is what it looks like to live in a way that others would see that you are a Christ follower. All right? Following Jesus looks like making some sacrifices. It looks like talking to the people in your life that maybe others have written off. Talking to those that others would say, even if you associate yourself with them, you're bringing down your reputation or your social standing. Jesus tells us that we're to love, to be compassionate, to be kind, to be humble, to forgive one another, and to put on love, which binds us together in perfect unity. And so when we say, how can I help my friends follow Christ? Again, it's asking yourself, what am I doing to follow Christ? Because if you're not following and if you're not modeling, all right, then why would anybody else want what you have? If all of this here is just meaningless to you, if it's not important to you, why would somebody say, yeah, I want in on that? It's a good question to ask yourself. And again, any tips on how to tell kids about God outside of church? Here's the deal. I think that a lot of times we always want to defer to like, well, only my actions should be the thing that points people to Jesus. Like, they should just be able to see and know. And I've mentioned a lot of that, but as well, sometimes there comes a point where like you should talk about Jesus. Like, if you really love him, and if you really believe what he's done for you, if you really believe what you say you believe, that it should be something that we talk about. So think about it in this way. Think about your favorite restaurant. Think about the best food that you've ever had in the world. Whenever you eat there or whenever you go there, all right, do you talk about it? Like with your friends and your family? If somebody's like, man, what's your favorite restaurant? Immediately, you're just like, oh my gosh, Swenson's. That's it. Or it's like, oh, Chick-fil-A breakfast is the best, all right? And I know you're mad at me because it's Sunday and other clothes. You can't go this afternoon, I'm sorry. This day. I don't know. This day. Not allowed. But if you think about things you love, or maybe you saw a show that you're like, oh my gosh, I have to tell all my friends about this. Like, it's natural for you to talk about the things that you enjoy or that you love. Right? You're just like, oh, this was so good. This movie was amazing. And then what happens? If you're even think about it in context of a restaurant or a movie, you start telling people around you about the movie or about the restaurant or the food or whatever. They might come back with, I don't know. That movie actually kind of stunk. Or that food is gross. Right? They come back with that, like, I don't agree with you. What do? You try to convince them otherwise. Like, you're like, no. No, you missed the best part of the whole movie. You got concerned about this, but really, it was over here, and this is what made the movie amazing. And if you just would have paid attention to the story here, or that's why this show was great, or no. Maybe you didn't like this food, but you just ordered the wrong thing. Like, why you got tomato soup from Swenson's? Why didn't you get a galley boy? What's wrong with you? All right, you forgot the Cajun on your potato teasers? That's what you're doing it wrong, all right? Like, you totally messed up. But you're trying to help them see, like, no, give this another chance. Like, or maybe you're just misunderstanding this. Shouldn't that be the same way that we talk about Jesus? Like, I see what he's done for me. Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you how Jesus has changed my life. And I think the question then you have to ask yourself is, has Jesus changed your life? Are the things you're doing now different than the things that you were doing before Jesus? Or does your life line up with the things that Scripture calls us to do? Those are important questions to ask yourself. Do you assume yourself a Christian just because your parents have taken you to church since, like, you can remember? And, like, you know some Bible stories, and that's it. Like, is that all? Is that it? I would tell you to ask yourself the question, do I really believe in the resurrection? Do I believe that Jesus is who he says he is? Am I a believer? It's a good question to ask. So again, one more time in your Bible, flip backwards now to Romans. Romans. It's kind of right in the middle of Matthew and Colossians if you go backwards. And so we're going to be in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. This is important. A lot of you have potentially heard this verse before, but maybe some of you haven't, and I think that's okay. This is Romans chapter 12, verse 1, and I'm just going to read this section here, because this is what I want to leave us with this morning. Because as we ask these questions, we talk about spreading Christianity or sharing this with my friends. I think a lot of it has to start with us originally. Like, you have to know, where am I at and what do I believe? If you say, I'm going to go make disciples, you ask yourself the question, am I a disciple? And do I know what I'm trying to multiply or replicate here? Do I know what I believe? And then it comes down to how we act around others, the things that we say. Romans 12, 1 starts this way. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, saying, give your life away for this stuff. This is your spiritual act of worship. Verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. That was another question that got asked a little while ago. If you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. How do I know what God's saying to me? Where does he want me to go? What does he want me to do? His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Verse 3. A lot of times we stop there. Let me just read this section here. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. And he goes on, I'm going to skip ahead, but he talks about the body. He talks about how we serve and encourage and the gifts that we've been given. But he goes on to say in verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. That's like in like passion. But keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction and suffering, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Then it gets harder. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Have empathy for those around you. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so we think about people who are outside of the church, outside of our friend groups. How do I love them? Even the ones who want nothing to do with this. Overcome evil with good. Be hospitable. Be kind. Be compassionate. Be forgiving. All of those things start with each and every one of you in this room. And if all of us are doing that, then we're pushing out God's kingdom. We're shining light in dark places, because the world does not look like that. Not all the time. It doesn't look like the way that Jesus intended it to. But he commissions us to go to make disciples so that it would. So that as we live out our lives, as we bring the kingdom into spaces where it is not, that it changes lives and hearts. It changes communities, families. Everything that it touches begins to look a little bit more like
the way that things were supposed to be. And so let me pray for us. And again, thank you for your questions. And I hope to do another series like this soon. I'm going to pray for us. We were going to sing, but we're not. So I went a little long. I'm sorry. I like to talk. And you guys know that. But so thank you for being patient with me. And I hope that this was encouraging to you. And let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our friends. Would we be kind and compassionate to one another? Would we love those around us? Would we be transformed by the renewing of our minds that way that we could know your will, that we would know your word inside and out? God, and would we even search in our own hearts this morning, do I believe what I say I believe? Do we really believe in the resurrection? Do we really believe that Jesus is who he says that he is? And so because of that, would we have more good questions to ask, more good conversations to have with parents, with small group leaders, with friends, and would that change us? So Jesus, I love you, and I'm just so thankful for every single student that's here. Again, would you call us to yourself? Would you protect us as we go out from this place? And would we be able to share the gospel, the good news, and make disciples of all people by loving them, by caring for them, and just by following your word? So we love you, and it's your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Green Student Ministries Middle School Podcast of the Chapel in Green. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to contact us at gsm@thechapel.life or follow us on Instagram @Green Student Ministries. We would love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.